Log Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
Wait.
Energy stations.
Shalom, what is going on, man? We back for another one. Shabbat shalom. Yahuwah bless. Man, I hope you're just enjoying your Shabbat. Also enjoying your Feast of the Tabernacle, Sukkot. I hope you're out there just chilling, relaxing, enjoying the feast and the Sabbath is going down. Man, I'm so glad that Yahuwah blessed us another time. I have to tell you something. This show right here, man, Yahuwah has been moving, and this show right here is going to really shake it up in the atmosphere, man, because he's gave us some stuff that we have some top secret stuff that we want to reveal later in the show that we're going to tell you about. But right now, we want to dive into prayer. Let's go to the throne. Father Yahuwah, in the name of Yahushua, Father, we come to you. We thank you for another day. We thank you for just another Shabbat, another feast. And we just pray, Father, that you would speak through us and to us and show us what is going on in the spiritual realm and what's going on in just the earth, Father, and prepared and keep us prepared. We thank you. We ask all these things in Yahushua HaMashiach, man, we pray. So be it. Amen. Woo! Get your thank you caps on today, man. Oh man, I hope you're ready for this, because we have a lot that we got to reveal. This is something I didn't really know about that's going on, and I mean times are speeding up very fast until we're getting to that point. Now we're gonna go over a little bit of news, and I know you've heard about what's going on with the occupancy Wall Street movement. But what we're going to do, we're going to play a little clip right here to, you know, catch you up to speed. And we're going to really show you the powers that be that are working according to, you know, the scriptures and according to everything. We're going to play this clip right here.
The Occupy Wall Street movement has been spreading across America, now going worldwide this morning. Protests are planned in solidarity from Europe to Australia this weekend. ABC's Dan Kleffler is in Lower Manhattan, where the protests began a month ago.
In New York, a police officer throws a punch at a demonstrator, igniting a crowd of protesters armed with cameras. Not far away, another protester wriggles in pain, hit by an officer's scooter. All this after demonstrators held their own at Zuccotti Park, refusing to leave, forcing property owners to back off a threat to clear the grounds for cleaning.
We are not resisting!
To the west, San Diego police fired pepper spray to keep protesters in check.
We're not here to arrest you. The only thing we want is to have the tents taken down.
That tent isn't necessarily because we need to sleep in it, but it's to show that we are here to stay.
Outside Colorado's Capitol building, police were forced to bust up a human chain of protest, forcing demonstrators to find a new place to set up base.
They can bring the riot police. We're not leaving this.
Media mogul Rupert Murdoch, a corporate target, is heckled during a speech.
It's okay. A little controversy makes everything more interesting.
That little controversy now spanning the country, with protests in Ohio, North Carolina, Virginia, Massachusetts, and Oregon. And the message being translated around the globe. In Tokyo, protesters are fighting inequality. Filipino demonstrators cried, U.S. troops out now. And about 300 Australians chanted the cry that started on Wall Street.
We are the 99%!
And those 99%ers that are here have two major events planned for today. One is a march to Times Square. The second is a rally at J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, where demonstrators say they'll be pulling the money from their accounts and closing them all together. Biana?
Yo, we back. So we want to catch you abreast, man. This revelation Yahuwah gave us this morning, man. it is amazing because you get to see what's going on. You get to see how the dominoes kind of just fall into place. But I have an article right here. This is from the ABC, I think straight off the ABC website. And it said the occupancy Wall Street movement has been spreading across America and has gone worldwide. Okay. So, you know, you have from Europe to Australia, the International Day of Action was called this week. And even in Tokyo, they have the thing in Australians. You have them planning, you know, we are the 99 cent, the Philippines. You have that going on. According to the Associated Press, you have, you know, lower than Manhattan, they're chanting, you know, 99%. You have the Chase Bank protest going on. And you have, you know, of course, it started with the, you know, in New York. And you have all these things going on. And even in Denver and San Diego and Seattle, Colorado, I mean, you can name the places. It's gone worldwide. It's gone worldwide. And you're like, well, what's going on? Whew. Let's break it down. What does the word say? What does the word say? We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to save you. We're going to fish you in right now. We ain't going to let you see it right now. We're going to drop the bomb on that word in a minute. But what are they talking about? They're chanting, we are the 99%. What are they talking about? Okay, you have, I went to a website right here and did some research. It's called Wealth Distribution. So right here, I want to read this right here. It says in the United States, the wealth is highly concentrated in a relatively few hands. In 2007, the top 1% of households, which is called the upper class, owned 34.6% of all privately held wealth, and the next 19%, the manageable, professional, and small business spectrum, had 50.5%, which means just 20% of the people owned a remarkable 85%, leaving the only 15% of the wealth for the bottom 80%, wage and salary workers. So I have some charts right here. Which basically show the wealth distribution. And so what you get down to right here? This is what it get down to. What are people talking? I'm looking at a chart right here. It's table three. It says share wealth held by the bottom 99% and the top 1% in the United States from 1922 to 2007. This is what it says right here. It says when you look at the chart, you see that number one, we just read that most of these small businesses and manageable accounts from CEOs and different things like that, they have over 50%. So you're talking about right here in 2007, it was 1% of the population had more than the other 99% of the population, which was 34.6%. That was a statistic in 2007. So who are these people who are these 1%? You began to look at it, and we like to call it, quote-unquote, the elite. Now, this gets deep. I really want you to think about it. Man, Yahuwah showed this. This gets deep. Now, you look at these protests, and you begin to look at it like, man, people are starting to, you know, wake up and, you know, that's thoughts going through your head. People are starting to wake up and people are recognizing the banks and the systems and everything like that. But I want to share something with you right here. Proverbs 24:21-22 says, do not associate with those given to change, those revolutionaries, those people who, despite the fact of what's going on, are oblivious to the real powers that be that are working. Come on now. Let's think about it. The only time I know in Scripture that when people were together and they were doing something, let's go back to Bereshit when you seen the Tower of Babel. They said, let us make a name for ourselves and let us build a tower to the heavens. Now, we have some top secret information about that Tower of Babel. The real Tower of Babel in just a little bit, but we're going to save that for you. But check this. You're talking about these people are gathering together saying we are 99%. They're waking up and hoorah and, you know, and just all these things. But and the 1% who owns, we just read the statistics, they own the most of the wealth distribution. See, but what you have here is you have a psychological mind trick that Hashatan has played on the mass public. We're going to share, so we're going to share a clip with you, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what was President Obama's thesis? What was his, when he was getting elected, what was his main objective? What was it? Yes, we, you know, yes, we can, and change, and all this. And I'm going to show you how Hashatan has used him in order to perpetrate and forward his plan in the earth. Let's play this clip right here.
I want to take this opportunity to update the American people about the situation in Libya. Last month, protesters took to the streets across the country to demand their universal rights and a government that is accountable to them and responsive to their aspirations. But they were met with an iron fist.
Freedom of assembly, freedom of expression, and freedom of the press.
Come here. You want to get arrested or no?
Are pillars of an open and inclusive society. There is a clear responsibility by the Egyptian government to hold accountable those responsible for these attacks.
For months, the Iranian people have sought nothing more than to exercise their universal rights. We call upon the Iranian government to abide by the international obligations that it has to respect the rights of its own people. We call for the immediate release of all who have been unjustly detained. And I'm confident that history will be on the side of those who seek justice.
Yo, we back. You listen to the Energy Network station. I'm Yahuwah Saad, and this is Still the Way. Yo, did you hear that? We're going to rewind it for a little bit. We're going to rewind it and let it rewind. Now, we're going to show you what Yahuwah showed us about these powers that be. You had a couple of months ago, you had protests and riots in Libya and Egypt. And as you notice, the mass public, the media beast, and Hashatan was at work. Let's rewind it. What began to happen? You look at Obama. There was actually a clip just now we just played with Secretary of State Clinton. They began to get on the bandwagon of protesting, of standing up for your universal, so-called universal rights. You don't believe me? We just rewinded it. You know what I'm saying? Let's rewind it again. Let's rewind it again if you didn't hear it.
I want to take this opportunity to update the American people about the situation in Libya. Last month, protesters took to the streets across the country to demand their universal rights and a government that is accountable to them and responsive to their aspirations. But they were
Okay. We're going to stop. We're going to cut them off right there. But you see the powers that be that began to work. What it did, we like to call it inception. Inception is what was created in the heart of a lot of people around the world because, number one, it was broadcast all the way across the nation. You know, people seen these riots in Libya, and they seen these things, and they seen Egypt, and they seen these people actually take it to the street and actually get something, and it seems like they got something done. they got some change going. They got some government, you know, changing. But what you don't see is who started it. And as now this fire catches around the world, America has put this inception in the hearts and people in order for this so-called 99%, the people, the bottom half of the, of you know, who are the lower class, the middle class, the lower people, to be able to protest. But what you don't know, let's look at the scripture. We just read Proverbs, and it says, don't be associated with these people. This is the grand deception. I mean, this deception gets deep. You have, what Hashatan has created is, he has made it so that these people will begin to protest. And what's going to end up happening? They're going to end up happening. When you read Revelation 13, this is what it says. When you read Revelation 13, it talks about the beast. Verse 4, it says, and they worship the dragon who gave to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to fight with him? Okay, what does that all mean? Let's put it all together. It said that all those on earth, and those names who are not written in the book of life of the slain lamb from the foundations of the world shall worship him, shall worship the dragon. So what they're going to do, this is the trick. This is the mind trick. They have created an inception. They have actually created chaos. America and these people have created chaos. They've created a failing system in which they tell people, yes, it can be fixed. And you see how Obama plays that, because he wanted the American people to rise up. Yes, he wants you to stand on Wall Street and protest. He wants you to stand on and begin to this occupancy, you know, all around the world. That was the motive for because people think things are going to change. I want to give you a reality check. If we want to tell you, hey, things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. I was talking to my wife. Big shout out to my wife out there. She's out there chilling. But I was talking and it just came out like, it's kind of like you're going to save Titanic. And you can't save it. Titanic is going to sink. But what you can do is, we have the possession of what we preach. We preach the Messiah, Yahushua the Messiah, salvation, the only way, the only name under heaven which man can be saved by. That's what we preach. And we tell people, hey, you need to get on the boat. Just like Noah did. He preached for 120 years and telling them, hey, you need to get on the boat, man, because it's going down. But hey, you have this spirit has been, and these people have been deceived in order to believe that they can make a change, when in reality, Obama, used by the dragon, the government, have created this because they want people to rise up. Because what they're going to do is, it's going to look to the human eye like, okay, yeah, we are for the people. Let's do something about this. Let's change. Let's get a new system. Did you catch that? Let's get a new system in which we can accommodate all these things and all these people rising up. And what you will have after that, you will have, and I stood on the sands of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns and on his horns 10 crowns, and his head were the names of blasphemy. You will have the beast, which was slain by death and deadly wound healed, and the earth marveled after. And they worshiped the dragon. That's what you will have. So it's going to look like, oh, they're for the people. Just like you look in Egypt and you say all these protesting people, they went to the streets and they got things done and the government was changed. And that was exactly what Obama perpetrated through this. So if you see the powers that be, yo, don't get involved with it. This is a warning for those people out there. You see people standing up. Don't get involved with this, because they're worshiping the beast. Please believe it. Because if you are believing, you have to believe, hey, this thing is not going to change. Yo, the only way This is going to change until Yahuwah comes and destroys Hashatan and put him under his feet. That's when it's going to change. But until then, we know that we're coming and we're embarking upon a time that hasn't been since the beginning of the world and never shall be again. That's what we're coming upon. So if we go back and we read the Tower of Babel, we read these people united for one cause, what's happening? You're having a modern day Tower of Babel happening all across the world, and they believe that they are trying to make a name for themselves. And what is the government going to do? They're going to play right into their hands because they set it up. And so you're going to have a modern day Nimrod taking leadership of these people. And so that's what they wanted to do. That's what the whole plan was, the whole agenda. So it's amazing how we see this dominoes just fall out right there. That's what they want to do. And so that is going on in world news right there. I mean, it's amazing. You've even had people, we researched some stuff. You haven't had Bill Lambert, who was one of the major players of the New World Order, said that religion and other spiritual equivalent of political powers in the United Nations would merge, and a grand merger of these forces would occur worldwide. So you see it right now. You see, let's not look at the people protesting all across the world. Let's not look at that. Look at the gathering, the mass gathering. They're sure not gathering for the name of Yahuwah. They're sure not gathering for keeping no commandments. But when you look into the spirit, Hashatan has tricked them to make them believe they can make a change. And so these things like Libya, that was all planned. This is all planned. Nothing is by coincidence. One of the quotes from one of the Illuminati people is that in order for there to be peace, there must be chaos. So they create chaos in order for there to be peace, because they're going to submit a solution. They're going to, oh yeah, we for the people. We for the people. We need to do something for the people because, yeah, y'all right. The system is broken. Let's have a new system. A new world order is what these people are crying out for. They're crying out for the beast. That's what they're on. They're on these corners. They're crying out for the beast because, hey, we are supposed to trust in Yahuwah and his son Yahusha, not no banks. No, you could care less what the government do. Care less what the government do. They have no tie on him. Remember what Yahusha said? He said, you know, paraphrasing this, but he said, what is due to Caesar, give to Caesar. What is due Yahuwah, you know, Elohim, give to him. It's two separate things. Yes, we live in Babylon. Yes, we have to pay our taxes, so on and so forth. But you actually think, if you was on Titanic, you actually could think, that's like you being on Titanic and you going down there and you're trying to patch up the leak. You're trying to say, hey, you're trying to protest y'all outside. Man, come on, man. If we all band together, think about it. Let's think about this parable right here. If we all band together, we on Titanic, we all band together, maybe we can stop this leak. I want to tell you that Titanic sinks, and actually have a movie. I don't know if it's a pretty good movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, but it's a pretty good movie. But hey, you can't stop it. It's going. Babylon will fall. And so you have this merging of spiritual powers that be that are now merging together, and we kind of see this going. They're getting ready. Everything is getting prepped for the Son of Perdition. You have the combination of, you know, Jews, Muslims, and Christians coming together. You know, everything is adding up. You're talking about one of the notes from we looked at Bill Lambert once again, one of the planners, and one of his notes was a cashless society in which they believe that crime will disappear. So all these things, like, remember, you remember the Troy Davis we talked about. I don't know if we didn't really dive into that, but you had the Troy Davis incident. You had a while ago, you had Casey Anthony. that all these little fractions that look like really nothing by themselves, but when you add them up and you look at the picture from afar, you begin to see that what these things are doing is these things are putting into the hearts and minds for people to rise up. What did the scripture say? It says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles and deceive, if even possible, the elect, like to see the elect. So what's happened? These little things are saying, you know, you have the Troy Davis incident. Okay. So now you have, it's put into the heart of some pro-black people to now let's raise up. Let's rise up and make a change. You know, let's rise up because they're coming in their own power and authority and not thinking about Yahuwah. Let's rise up. Let's make a change. You know, you have this, you have these things. Oh, let's rise up. And so you have people like Harold Camping who's predicting May 21st and they're rising up. So subliminally, those things are put out there in the media for people to be able to stand up and take a charge. So yes, Obama did not say directly. Actually, he did. I take that back. He did, quote unquote, say in one article that if people had a problem against what's going on, they need to take it to the, they, you know, in quote unquote, different words, need to take it to the street and become proactive. So with that right there, put in psychological people's minds when they seen Libya and they seen Libya rise, the people rise up and take it to the streets and get something done. They feel like, hey, if we do the same thing, we could get something done. And they will. Because the beast will rise from the sea and they will worship the beast, the whole earth. So these things, don't be fooled. Don't be associated with the people that are given to change, who are these revolutionary people who feel like they can change. Because what you really do, you begin to become, it'll make you, if you don't see this illusion, you begin to become oblivious to the scriptures that, hey, what Yahuwah said is going to happen. You can't stop Titanic. It's going to sink. It's hard. You know what I'm saying? What did he say? You read one of the works, you read some of the works, and you see it. You see how false prophets are going to begin to rise up because they're going to put in their hearts to the congregations. They see people marching out and they doing things. Well, let's march out there too. Let's march out there too. We need to get out there and march out there too. You know what I'm saying? We need to make some change. We need to make some things happen. You know what I'm saying? But check this. What did it say in the scriptures? You know what I'm saying? One of the works, you look at the Apocalypse of Kephas. I'm going to get check this out, but it was actually an apocryphal work. You check it out. It says that, I say to you, when the twigs have sprouted forth in the last days, then shall false messiahs come to awaken to expectation. This is what you have. Look, in these end days, you will have these false prophets rising up. Why are they rising up? Because the spirit in the earth is the spirit of rising up. You see it right now. Let's look at the spiritual aspect of these people rising up. I guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of false prophets rising up and leading a lot of these people. The spirit of rising up is in the earth. And then look what it says. It says, when they turn away and deny him who our fathers praised, the first Messiah whom they have, you know, we don't say the word crucified, but, you know, killed or murdered, thereof created the great sin. But this deceiver is not the Messiah. So everything is rising. These people are rising up. These false prophets are rising up in order to deceive. And you have people like us who are in Christianity who we were worshiping the wrong person. And so as the false Messiah rises up and comes on the scene, the scripture says he will slay many with a sword and there shall be many martyrs. It says, if you don't know, I mean, they have coffins down in Georgia, you know, Georgia Godstone, they have the coffin linings, you know, they have, I mean, they're getting prepared for something. But the fig tree will sprout forth. But that's what it says. When it sprouts forth, many of the martyrs shall die at his hand. Talking about the anti-Messiah. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? Yahuwah is not without compassion. He will send Hanak and Eliyahu to come teach the world that this is the deceiver who has come into the world to do signs and wonders in order to deceive. And at his hand, many have become martyrs. So you're talking about the last 3.5 years of 7 years called the Great Tribulation. So everything is rising up. They're rising up to get ready for the beast, to worship the beast. So that's what that, looking in that aspect, that these people, it said the whole world worships the beast. So what are they doing? Don't be given the change. Don't fall for it. And we have, man, it gets deeper. It gets deeper. But we want to take a break. We want to take a quick plug right now. You're still listening to the Poetic Energy Network. This is Yahuwah Sai, and this is Still the Way. Okay, now we're going to move on a little bit. We want to talk about, a lot of this is news. We're going to try to squeeze everything in, man, but I'm telling you, we're talking about the false flag. I want to play this clip right here. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news and what's been going on, but I recently found this out. I got an article right here from Washington. It said U.S. President Barack Obama on Thursday said officials of the highest level of the Iranian government must be held accountable for the plot assassination of Abdul al-Jaber, the Saudi ambassador to the United States on American soil. At this news conference tied to the state visit in South Korea, President Lee insisted leaders of the world will believe the U.S. case without dispute in any absurd cases. U.S. officials, meanwhile, confirmed Obama administration had direct contact with Iranian over allegations, U.S. ambassadors to the United Nations. So basically, we ain't going to read the whole article, but from reading the article, you know, you began to see what's going on. And this is like scriptures playing out, man. I went on a couple of websites. What does it say? It says Obama is pushing Israel to war. President Obama cannot outsource matters of war and peace to another state. Things are beginning to rise up where you will have wars and rumors of wars. We want to tell you about this. We want to tell you about this false flag. You know what I'm saying? This gets deep right here, this false flag information. You remember about President Bush and all that stuff. You remember about how they said, well, let's, you know, 9-11 happened. And 9-11 happened, and all of a sudden, you have, they know who they did it. In October, you know, they're saying they did it and we're going in there. You know what I'm saying? Without, you know, I don't know if it seems strange to you, but let's dive more into information. You have the Associated Press article from Associated Press. This is what it says. It says, had Iran's alleged terror plot succeeded, the Brazilian assassination of Saudi ambassador in Washington would have provoked American outrage and demands for immediate action far beyond what is under consideration. It is doubtful if the attack would have sparked an all-out U.S.-Iranian war. If such attack were clearly linked to Iran, it might prompt strikes against Iran, nuclear or military facilities. Obama administration says the conspiracy was linked to elements in the Iranian government, presenting a dangerous escalating in which an already extremely hostile relationship. Okay. Now I want to play this article real quick to you, so you can understand that, hey, this is a false flag. Just like they made it up where these riots happen and they want people to rise up, the same thing is which they're going to want to go to war with, all because of false flag. Check this article out.
Today, the Department of Justice is announcing charges against two people who allegedly attempted to carry out a deadly plot that was directed by factions of the Iranian government to assassinate a foreign ambassador here in the United States. Mansour Ababsyar, a naturalized United States citizen who holds an Iranian passport and was arrested last month in New York, is accused of working with members of an arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps to devise an international murder-for-hire scheme targeting the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States. According to the complaint filed today in the Southern District of New York, Ababsyar is alleged to have orchestrated a $1.5 million assassination plot with Gholam Shakouri, an Iranian-based member of the Quds Force, and other Iranian co-conspirators. Now, the Quds Force is a unit of the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It is also suspected of sponsoring attacks against the coalition forces in Iraq and was designated by the Department of Treasury in 2007.
Yo. We're going to cut him off, man, because, you know, he gets into the jargon and everything, but we want to break it down for you. This is what's going on. You have the plot, you have the America supposedly doesn't like Iran. Okay, let's really talk about it. You're talking about these two countries are irrevocably split on issues about uranium and, you know, the whole thing alleged that they supported by the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and attacks against American soldiers. They also had linked, when you listen more to that article, he also links this thing back to these people who had the terror plot on the U.S. soil September 11th. So they're saying they're saying Iran is linked to September 11th. Basically, what it gets down to. But we want to show you some top secret information. Now, you know, this really gets deep right here. Okay, now. Okay, now it really gets deep. It says, according to news reports, the U.S. military is shipping bunker buster bombs to the U.S. Air Force Base in San Diego in Indiana. It says, newspapers quoted, they are gearing up for a total destruction of Iran. The next step in the stage will be a terrorist attack, a false flag. Operation, if you remember, Operation Northwoods was a false operation in which they blame, basically it's like me blaming something on you. It's basically like me pinning the murder on you. You know, I come and say you did something and, you know, you go in your house and you got coke all in your house. You're like, man, I ain't put this coke here. I didn't have this weed or this whatever, these guns and all this stuff, man. Where in the world did this stuff come from? But yeah, it was in your house, man. You did it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what a false flag is. You know what I'm saying? A false flag is, you know, things already set up in which they're able to do this. And so what they're saying is they're going to have a false flag for Iran in order to go to war with Iran. It doesn't have to be true. Just like 9/11 was actually an inside job and they go to war with Afghanistan. We're going to show you why they actually went over there in just a little bit. Okay, you're talking about Iran, the false flag going on. It says the bombing will include more than nuclear facilities and continue until Iranians agree to regime change and an installation of a puppet government. Have you noticed that America has been around to a lot of nations and began to install this puppet government, this democracy, freedom and democracy type things that they have been doing? You know, you want to know why? Let's look at the spiritual aspect. The spiritual aspect is because they are gearing up for the son of perdition and able to have easy access to dictatorship. That is what is going on. This puppet government is their positioning, just like strategically positioning their troops. They have troops in Afghanistan, they have troops over here, they have troops over here in order to do this. So this false flag, that even with this thing, this so-called terror attack on that was going to happen against the U.S., this gives them a reason to be able to go to war with Iran in the future. It says, an explanation at ready at hand is almost a giveaway that the incident is a black ops event. Notice how quickly the U.S. government alleged so totally deceived by the Al-Qaeda provided an explanation of September 11th. When President Kennedy was assassinated, the government produced a culprit immediately. Have you noticed that? An alleged culprit was conveniently shot inside the jail by a civilian before it could be questioned. But the official story was already and it held. Did you notice that? They already had a story already ready, just like 9/11. They already had a story. You telling me a month after they did attack, you know who did it, you know where they live at, you know what I'm saying? Okay. If you know so much, then how can two people hijack planes and crash them into a building? Come on, man. You're talking about the spirit, the power, spiritual powers that be. They already have what they wanted to do. And so this thing gets deeper. I want you to stay abreast on how this thing gets deeper. Okay, they already have this. Check this information out right. Former CIA official says that it was a rogue nation. Makes it clear that the U.S. government has an agenda that it has pursued without congressional or public awareness. The agenda unfolds as a response to terrorism, and the big picture is not understood by the mass public or by the Congress. It says only half believe that such a government would employ a false flag operations to advance their agenda. So I don't know if you get to know, even Operation Northwoods was a series of false flag proposals within the United States government in 1962 in which they created things to order them to blame it. And watch it unfold. Watch this, the relationship between, you know, Obama's began to think different things and against these people. And so you're talking about, you have even, you know, just like the scripture said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. It said there will be wars. So there are going to be wars. And there will be rumors of wars. You're talking about one of the major officials over in the Middle East said that Israel will attack Iran shortly. And we know that, you know, number one, America is against Israel. But you began to look at the plan over there. You began to look over there and you see, okay, what is over in that land? Dude, this gets even more head. I need you to stay attention. You look over in that region of Saudi Arabia. Now, Mount Sinai is actually in Saudi Arabia. Okay, you look over there. You begin to look at the troops positioning of America. Okay, you look at right there. You have Libya. You have Egypt. They began to do things over there. You have the uprising over there. You have troops in Afghanistan. Then you have Pakistan. Now the last one is Iran, where they're going to try to position. This is America now we're talking about. Now, when you begin to put this according to the scriptures, this is what you began to see right here. You began to see this right here. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see what is actually, why is everybody concerned about that land? Why is the United States actually posting up over on that land? You look at Genesis, Bereshit 15:18. It says, "Until thy seed I will give the land from the river Egypt." That's i.e. Wadi Asha, southeast Gaza, the great river, the river Euphrates on the west by the Mediterranean. And to the land on the half of Egypt, eastward up now, across the Jordan, Libya, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and the western half of Iraq, of the Euphrates of the Gulf, the Persian Gulf. This coincidentally is projected the course of the present World War III. Now, you're talking about, let's break this down. You're talking about that land over there in Saudi Arabia and Libya and Jordan, the great year of Euphrates, is all the land that he promised, Yahuwah promised Abraham that he would give until the seed of Jacob, Israel. And you notice how America goes into Afghanistan, they go into Iraq. They now they're going to start in Saudi Arabia. They're going in there. Why? Number one, that is the land that Yahuwah said that he would give us. And that's the projected path of World War III. You look at, now this gets deep. This gets deep. I really need to tell me. This gets deep. Now, I did some other research, and we found out that Saudi, this is what I want you to know. The biggest head of an Anunnaki, remember we talked about a couple of weeks about the Nephilim, the false messengers that rebelled with Hasatan and came to Earth, and we talked about that, and we talked about how they came down on the mountain. Now, I want you to check this out. The biggest skull or skeleton of a giant human being, remember how the fallen messengers came and impregnated women, they bore giants. You can read that in Bereshit, Genesis, I believe it's chapter 6. The biggest head of a skeleton giant is found where? In Saudi Arabia. The same place Yahuwah revealed himself and came down on Mount Sinai. And you can see the mountain, even the mountain right now is burnt. And look at the scriptures, it says that he burnt. He was a consuming fire on the mountain, and the top of the mountain is still burnt to this day. Guess what, though? I read some reports, and a lot of people have misplaced where the Tower of Babel was, and guess where it was? To the north, a couple of miles from Saudi Arabia. The original Tower of Babel we reread in Genesis. The original Tower of Babel, which was there. Now, this gets deep. I want you to stay with me. The Tower of Babel was an impersonation of the heaven's gate. Remember, I want you to read it back to you. Genesis 28, 12 through 15. And he dreamed that the ladder reached the earth and the heaven. And he saw Malachs of Elohim ascending and descending on the top. And the top of the ladder stood Yahuwah saying, I am Yahuwah, the Elohim of your father, Abraham, Jacob, Elohim of Yitzhak. Remember, Yahushua even said a kind of similar statement in Yehoshua 9:1-43. He's answered, do you believe because I have told you this vision under the tree? You will see greater proofs than this. Truly I show you that you will see the heaven open up and Malachs of Elohim and descending upon the son of Adam. So people always want to know why they going in Iraq. Why are they always concerned about that land over there? You want to know why? Okay, this is the physical aspect. Now, when you go back and you read Bereshit, Genesis, and you read about Nimrod was one of the rulers who ruled back then. He became a mighty one in the Tower of Babel. So he was basically the leader of the Tower of Babel, these people trying to build a tower unto the heavens, right? Okay, it says all the people on earth were one language, you know what I'm saying, and all that. Even you read Genesis chapter 10, it says that in the beginning of it, it says, and he was like a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. Therefore, it was said like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. And the beginning of his reign was Babel and Erech, Akkadi and Kalni, and the land of Shinar, and the land he went. It says, and from that land he went to Ashur, built Nibia. Now, when you look at Saudi Arabia, you look at the things over there, there is a prophecy that talks about Ashur, which he said that he will dip his foot in oil. Now, you look at Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the biggest production of oil over there. Like, it is the top place for the oil. So that makes sense that in the land of Ashur, over there by Saudi Arabia, that he would dip his foot in oil, because that was Yahuwah knows what's in the land. But the real question is, why are they over here? This is the post path of World War III. Okay, now this is where it gets deep. You have to stay with it. It says Ashur was It says, Asher was more blessed with the sons of Asher than he may be found his brothers. And he made his foot dip, he dipped his foot in oil. Now, I want to read this right here. It says, Saudi Arabia apparently has the most of the oil and is pumping it at an alarming rate. It says, this is one of the main reasons why American had soldiers in Iraq. And now they're going to Afghanistan, now they're in Afghanistan, and now they're going to present a false flag to go into Iran. It says, and this is all, you know, a disclaimer, you know what I'm saying? But this is possibly the scenario, what's going to happen. And it says, this is one of the main reasons why America has soldiers in Iraq, and it's because to protect the oil reserve. Come on. We know the U.S. dollar is going to fall. We know that Babylon is going to fall, but we're basically running the world for a long time, the oil reserves. But this gets even deeper. I want you to look at the spiritual aspect of this. Whew! This is top secret right here now. What is the actual spiritual aspects of going around? You look at Jerusalem. You look at the area around there, the land that he has given us. The true children of Israel, that he said from the great river Euphrates, all that land occupying that American soldiers and everybody had went into. You look at this and you say, hey, what is really going on? What is the spiritual powers? Why are they always fighting over this land? Why does it seem like everybody's trying to set up shop over there? Now, this is what is a possible scenario, what's going on. But all we can take history as a guide. We can take scriptures as a guide. Now, remember I just said that the ancient Tower of Babel was to the north of Saudi Arabia, you know, according to historians. And what were they trying to do? What were they trying to do? What was these people on one accord trying to do? We got to take it back to the scripture. It says, Genesis 11:3, it says, and they said to one another, let us make brick and bake them thoroughly. The brick, it says, and they had brick for stone and they asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens, Shemaim, and to make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered all over the face of the earth. Okay. Now, this gets bigger than what it seems. Okay. This is what Jehovah said. Jehovah said, look, they are of one people, and they are of one language. And this, it says, and this is what they began to do. Now that they are not going to be withheld from doing whatever they plan. Now, we know, we go back and look at ancient research. Hey, Nimrod was a wicked man. Nimrod was a very wicked man who did a lot of the things. We talked about that. We talked about Semiramis, you know, possibly had incest with his mother. You're talking about this guy was a wicked guy. You know, the world's religions is based out of Babylon, Babel, which means confusion. You know what I'm saying? So Nimrod was a very wicked guy, and they're building a tower into the heavens, and this is the same place in Saudi Arabia where Noah came down from heaven and wrote. You have the same place where it talks about possibly in the book of Enoch where the fallen come through. So what is over there? I want to read this scenario to you. The U.S. government has attained, it says, what if the U.S. government has obtained intelligence that hidden somewhere in the central Iraq, over there by Saudi Arabia, is an actual Stargate, the place whereby the Anunnaki mighty ones, G-O-Ds, in the ancient Sumerium, it says in the scenario, now this is just, this disclaimer now. This possibly be a scenario. It says when Nibiru, that the alleged 12th planet, is closer to the Earth, the Anunnaki will take the opportunity to travel to Earth through the same Stargate and will set up in a camp in Iraq and over, you know, by Saudi Arabia. This article also said that they believe that U.S., the Russians, Germany, and France have been aware that the Anunnaki left behind some very high-tech apparatuses and possibly weaponry. It says when they abandoned the Earth in 1700 BC. So you talk about the real spiritual aspect over that land. Why were the people of Tower of Babel trying to build a tower to Shemaim? Why does it seem like this is the same place Yaakov has the vision of, you know, the same area where Yaakov has the vision of Moloch ascending and descending, almost a gateway to heaven somewhere? If you ever check this out, you look at that area and you take a map and you flatten it. Guess where that's at? That's the center of the earth. Center of the earth. Jerusalem is, according to a lot of historians, and you look on the map, and all around that area, you know, you have the Egypt, and all around that area is just about the center of the earth. So you're talking about that these Anunnaki, that they know the United States was going over to Iran and to the land that he promised the seeds of Abraham, that the Anunnaki are possibly be coming through a stargate. You know the whole hype behind 2012, the return of the watchers. You know, Enoch says that in those days that the watchers will shake, they will be on earth. What did Yahushua say? He said in those days, you know, the days that he is coming, so shall it be, just like it was in Noah's time, so shall it be in the coming of the son of Adam. So what happened in Noah's time? Noah's time, you had the Anunnaki. You had the Nephilim. You had these people who were roaming the earth. You had these giants on earth. That's one of the reasons Yahuwah wiped everybody out, because the seed of the giant, the Anunnaki, was still on earth. So you're talking about 2012, possibly the return of the Watchers and the revealing of the Watchers coming through possibly a stargate. Yeah, I don't know if you ever seen. Now, we talk about movies and it gets crazy, but if you ever watch the movie Transformers 3, what happens? I just want to leave that out there. I want to throw that out there, the disclaimer out there, but you watch the Transformers and you see, what are they trying to do? They're trying to bring a planet. They're trying to bring a planet through. And notice how they had a strategic set up shop all around these places in order for them to come through a portal or stargate. Now, I just want to throw it out there. Hope you don't think, hey, we always share the truth. But, hey, I know it's all been news, but we want to get into the scriptures real quick. We want to take a pause. Hey, you still listening to the Poetic Energy Network station on the side, and this is still the way. Yo. Yo, we got a good song for y'all later, man. We ain't going to have the fact of the day, but we're going to have the jam of the day in just a little bit. But hey, we want to keep it moving right now, you know, because we've been getting into the news, and we want to get into the Matrix.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Okay, we back. Yo. This was going on. Okay, we have the red or blue pill. This is my section right here. I love this section right here. We're talking about the true assembly versus religion. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the true assembly, the true faith versus a religion. Man, just like we said, when you go back to Nimrod, a lot of this makes, think about this. If they were under Nimrod and they had all these, and they, he already had a false sense of religion. You know, he already, it said he became a mighty one, so he was a mighty one. You knew back in the day they used to worship, you know, you heard of things like Zeus and all these people. He was in that category. So they worshiped him, and you're talking about this false sense of religion. So when Yahuwah confused all the languages, now you have that story. Yo. We back. But sorry about the technical difficulties. I don't know what happened. But okay. So you have, we going back to the Tower of Babel. We have the Tower of Babel. So, hey, what's going on is you have, when he confused the languages, you have all these different religions now having, holding on to the same false religion of stories. So, I mean, you go to the Hindus, you go to about 4,000 BC or something, you have Hinduism. You know, that was one of the main religions of the civilizations back there. When all these languages got changed, you know, these people had different stories of the same kind of stories. That's why when we talked about last week, you had stories of, you know, different false messiahs and different things like that, because all these things exterminated from one thing. So you have Hinduism, you know, they're talking about reincarnation and karma and, you know, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Then you have Judaism. You have Judaism, which was a combination of different things. You're talking about the Khazar, you know what I'm talking about? You have Judaism, which got started, which is basic. You know, we talked about the Talmud, which is a demonic, evil book, which talks about, you know, how the Jews, which perpetrate like almost an Aryan race type spirit. Hold on, we're going to pause one second, one quick second. Okay. We back. Okay, so you have all these religions. You have the Aryan race type Jews, and then you have what's going on then. Then you have all these other religions. Man, we just found out. You even look at the Buddhism. You look at modern day religions like Jehovah's Witnesses. You have the Seventh Day Adventists, which was created by Ellen White. Let me tell you about this lady. She creates a religion based upon her. She says that they predicted that, hey, the Messiah is going to come back this year. That's what they believe. The Messiah is going to come back this year. And guess what? He didn't come back. So what she says that the error was on him, that he miscalculated for him not to come back. So you were Seventh-day Adventist. That's the basis of faith, is believing this lady who created this list. I mean, you have Baptist, you have Pentecostal. We can go on and on. The list goes on and on. All these religions. Yeah, Buddhism. You know, Buddha. You know, who was, you know, the meditation, and, you know, we can get on to that. You know, that started in 500 something BC. You have that. Then you have, we know that Islam came forth out of came forth out of where? The great beast, Babylon, the great whore, comes out of that. Then you have Confucianism. You have that going on. You have it's just so many religions all the way up to here. Then you have Christianity, which was perpetrated by who? Constantine the Great, or so-called the Great. And you know, you had Islam, which was you know the Muhammad guy, and you know how that happens. I mean, you just go on and on. You speed it up, and hey, you have all these religions, but all these religions you can trace back to what? A man. You can trace back to what? A man. But I want to show you this verse right here. I want to show you this verse. This verse right here shuts down all man religions. This one verse right here. So when somebody asks you, man, why you don't believe in religion, man, why you don't, you know, you don't call yourself in religion, or why, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 3:11 to him. It says, for no man, Moana, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. His foundation. So if you have a religion that's Baptist, Pentecostal, you know, Seventh-day Adventist, you know, whatever you want to call it, hey, guess what it was created by? It was created by a man. So how can they build another foundation? You know, it's like, you know how silly that is? That's like, man, you build a house. You have a foundation, you build a house, and then somebody comes saying, man, I'm going to build a foundation on top of your house and build another house on top of your house. You look at them like, man, is you high? Are you smoking? Like, how you going to build a foundation on top of my house when the house is already established? The same thing. So when we look at religions, the same thing we see. How they going to build on top of what was already built? Man, somebody comes to you preaching another Yahusha other than the Yahusha we preach, or you receive a different Ruach or spirit than the one we receive, or a different Masorah, which the one you have accepted, you will easily put up with. Even enough. So you have that going on. You have, look, what did he say? Look, First Kepha 2 and 4, as it has come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by Elohim, precious to him. Ephesians 2:20, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Messiah Yahushua himself as the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. So no other religions. That's the red pill right there. The red pill is 1 Corinthians 3:11, and the blue pill. I'm sorry, we don't have enough time to get into all these religions, but that's the blue pill. You're talking about every single religion on the entire earth that's in the book. I could read them all day. You know what I'm saying? But we want to talk about real quick. We almost done. Then we're going to play the quick jam of the day. We in the archives now because we done went over by the time. But we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, in which we're in right now. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. When you read Leviticus 23, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. You know what I'm saying? If you get a chance, share this with your friends. You listen to the Poetic Energy Network station. I'm your host, and this is Still the Way. So you're talking about Leviticus 23. It's about, this is what he says. We're going to read it right. We're going to read it real quick for you. He says, right here, he says, speak to the children of Yisrael, saying, on the 15th day of the first month of the festival of Sukkot. It says, Sukkot. It says, for 7 days to Yahuwah. The first day is a set apart gathering, which you do no Shavuot work. For 7 days you will bring an offering by fire to Yahuwah, and on the 8th day you shall set apart the gathering to you, and you shall bring offering made by fire to Yahuwah. It says, it is a clothing festival, you do no Shavuot work. These are the appointed times of Yahuwah, which is a set apart gathering. So you're talking about, it says, then it says, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you are to gather the fruit of the land, celebrate the festival of Yahuwah for 7 days, on the first day of rest, and on the 8th day of rest. You shall take for yourselves on the first day good fruit, trees, branches, palm trees, twigs, leaves, and you shall rejoice before Yahuwah, your Elohim, for 7 days. You are to celebrate the festival to Yahuwah for 7 days in the year, a law forever in your generations, celebrate for on the seventh new moon. Dwell in booths for 7 days. He says, all who are native of Yisrael dwell in booths. So the generations know that I made the children of Yisrael dwell in booths. I brought them out of the land of Mizraim. I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. He says, this did Moshe appoint the times to Yahuwah, the children of Yisrael. We're talking about, the festival of tabernacles. You're talking about the hope of esteem. So just as he took, Mizraim was a symbol of bondage, slavery. But what are you talking about now? We was in bondage, slavery to sin. All the feast days point to Yahusha. We're talking about now in this feast, tabernacles, we're rejoicing before Yahusha. And just like the scripture says, now we're offering him a sacrifice of fire. But guess what? We are offering him the sacrifice of our like the fruit of our lips. That's what we're offering. We're offering up to him, the fruit of our lips. Just as Yahuwah delivered them out of slavery, Yahusha has delivered us from the hand of the devil, which is sin, slavery, and disobedience. Now we tabernacle in this body of death. You know what I'm saying? This is what Shaul said. Shaul said, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of Elohim, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. It is sown into the natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is also a spiritual body. This is what it says in Kepha. This is what it says right here. Now, this is still in Corinthians. It says, for we are the temple of the living Elohim. Just as Elohim has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be the Elohim, and they will be my people. Remember, he said that he wanted to write his commandments on his people. He wanted to fill us. Remember, Yahusha told them to stay in Jerusalem until the promise came. And the promise was the Ruach HaKodesh, the mystery of the Besorah, which is Yahusha in you. He is walking in us and among us if you do what he said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is all his commandments. That is the Torah in which he said to do. We can't pick and choose and say, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Man, the festival of tabernacles is even what we're going to be keeping in 1,000 years, according to Zechariah 14. And it says, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in the nation shall come, that come against Jerusalem, shall go up year by year and worship the King, Yahuwah of hosts, and shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. All mankind shall bow down before me. So you're talking about this. So the main point, this is the main point of Sukkot, tabernacle. It says, this is what it pointed to. Yahusha pitched his tent among us, and we beheld his esteem, the esteem of the only one and only, the Son of Elohim. First Yehukanan, John 1 through 14. Remember, what did Manuel mean? Elohim with us. Yes, just like we talked about the virgin birth, how he left his throne and he came, dwelled in the form of the Ruach. He came, dwelled in the body that was prepared for him inside of Mother Mary, was born spotless, sinless. And hey, now he has risen to the right hand of the Father, and we grown out in tabernacles. So we're thinking about that during this week, about the tabernacles, these tabernacles that we live in, that, hey, beloved, now we are children of Elohim, and it has not have been revealed until now what it is going to be. But we know that when he has been revealed, we shall be in his likeness, and we shall see what he is. So that's what we look forward to. We look forward to just as how he brought them out of Mizraim, out of bondage, slavery. We look forward to the redemption of our bodies out of this body of flesh, this sinful flesh that we have to die and be and living in the kingdom. And right now, but we about to get into the jam of the day, but right now I want to leave you with one last verse. And it says, and I heard a great voice saying, this is the future tabernacle right here. And I heard a great voice saying in heaven, behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with man. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. Yo, yo, yo. Hope you had a blessed Shabbat. We out of here. We about to kick it. We got a new jam of the day right here. This is from my ock out there in Michigan. It's called, you know, the Sabbath. I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong. It's called the Cypress Sabbath. We got this. But we out of here. We hope you see. We hope you have a blessed Shabbat. We hope you have a blessed Feast of Tabernacles. Yo, check it out. Yahuwah bless you. Yahuwah keep you. May his face shine upon you. And we out of here.
Shabbat shalom, Israel, rise and shine. Figure I'd do another one of these. It's been a while. You know, take one of these breaks. Since it's a Sabbath, you know, taking a break. Pun intended. Here we go. Hey yo, I'm fresh off hiatus, I graduated, and though the father tested me, told God I gradually made it. Shit, took the hand he dealt me, and so I casually played it. It manifested a talent displayed the day after I'm created. That's the Sabbath day, remember when we ain't have a day to rest. I take a break, being treated like I was cash display. Yes, butterfly float, sing it with a load of flows. B is for Basora, it's buzzing in all my quarter bowls. Shamar A, got a style of his own. These words don't belong to him, well, who is writing his poems? Reminiscent of King Dawid, when he writing his songs. Who is master? The one who got a footstool for the throne. Cheer, sat up at the right hand, for that I use my right brain. Pin up in the left, in my right mind, I write things. I left all the falsehood, took his spirit to write things. He causes me to speak before kings, and don't invite shame. Now that's powerful, Kadesh place, rap from the best Jakes. 12 stones all on my breastplate. I look at the past and investigate. I'm straining myself, looking behind me so much, need a neck brace. Most can't really stomach the truth taste. It's bittersweet, but picking out the darnel prematurely, you get the wheat. Save it, let it grow together, I'ma get the cheese. Blow the shofar, drop the stick, or wave the sheet. Now all I have are redemption songs. Catch my second wind, I can run a track any distance long. Rap like I got Kenyan lungs. Help me sing a song of freedom for the children of Mount Zion. You read about us in the legend, Acura, a little bit of leaven is why we in the diaspora. You just a whip in my father's hand, ain't mad at you, America, you made me strong. All praise to Yah, Yad Hey, Wow, Shin, Iron. And every day I'm dying, just as long as I'm buying what he's supplying. I'm living under the blood, that's the water for life. So I plant a seed on this record, then I water this mic with words. They have power to irrigate eardrum, aggravate all my enemies, bring together Israel, sons. So death to deception, death to my Abba, death to the wicked West on the day they meet in my Abba. Yo.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way, Poetic Energy Network. Stations.